Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those with whom it is due, and when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Amen. So Proverbs 3 is primarily talking about, again, the idea of wisdom, but now he gets to the benefits of wisdom. Like what if you follow after this wisdom, if you set your life and you live your life according to the way Solomon is asking his son to, what will be the result in your life? And he begins to list off a few of these things. So again, just like in chapter 2, he's directed to his son. This would be Rehoboam. And he says, and it's interesting, the first verse, my son, do not forget my teaching. Other translations say my law. And so it's regarding, obviously, the law of God. But notice he makes it personal. He says, this is my law, right? Or in our translation, my teaching. Let not your heart keep, but let your heart keep my commandments. Obviously, these are not his commandments. These are God's commandments. This is God's law, right? This is God's word. But Solomon had so internalized it for himself that it was like, this is my law. It's as if this is my commandment. This belongs to me in that way. And I think, and there's a way that you can love the word, there's a way that you can love the law, that it becomes quite personal. It becomes your own. It's your own way of life in a certain way. And so he's telling his son, hey, follow my law, right? Obviously God's law, but so internalized within Solomon in this place. And he says, if you do that, this is, again, he goes straight to the benefit. Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And so this just doesn't mean that you're going to live a long life, because, I mean, honestly, who wants to live a long life stuck in a coma or something like that? We don't want that. And so, but he's talking about this prosperity in this long life and peace they will add to you. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, internalize these things, right? It's not just something that you read, it's something that you live, right? And so what happens as a result of that? You will find favor and good repute in the sight of God, in the sight of man. Favor with God and favor with man. This is such an important thing. You know, as a parent, this is something that you should be praying over your kids all the time. I pray this over my kids all the time. It's the prayer of Jesus, right? The announcement of Christ. And he says, remember Jesus as a boy, he grew in stature and wisdom, favor with God and favor with man. And I pray this all the time, right, over my kids and actually over all the kids here at SP. Lord, let them grow in wisdom, right, mature. Let them grow in stature, you know, let them grow in height. Let their body be physically sound and healthy, and let them grow in favor with God and favor with man. I think that is such a perfect description of the way Jesus grew up, and really it should be our prayer for all of our kids, right? Lord, I mean, it's so simple, right? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Pray for our kids. They would grow in wisdom and stature, favor with God, and favor with man. And that's what he says. He says, if you do this, you'll find favor, good repute in the sight of God and man. And then, many of us that took GIC, we're very familiar with this great verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in the Lord with some of your heart. That doesn't count. Right? Don't trust in the Lord with just a part of your heart, because then you're divided. You're, as James says, that you're washed along the sea. You have a divided heart. Double-minded is the word. So you got to trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Right? Some things are mysterious. Some things, but that's precisely why trust is important. Because it's in those moments, like, if you really think about it, you don't need to trust God when you totally understand what's going on. But you need to trust God when you don't understand. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him, right, let God be the one, and then He will make your path straight. So people ask, Pastor Sam, how can I walk in the will of God? How can I know that I'm walking in the will of God? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And look what He says, and He will keep your path straight. In other words, you will know the will of God. In fact, you'll be walking in the will of God. You will not have to guess about the will of God, because He will make your path straight. Even what that verse means, even if you want to go left, you want to get crooked, He will make your path straight. Those that trust in Him, right, with all of their heart, right? Don't rely on their own strength, but totally acknowledge God for everything. And He says, and He will keep your path straight. You'll follow along. You'll know exactly what the will of God is. And the promise of Scripture, you will walk in the will of God. It's a beautiful verse. So he continues on. Now comes kind of the overflow of trusting in God. Solomon writes, there's two things that will happen to you that will be a result of trusting in God. First is you'll be generous. He says here, honor the Lord from your wealth. And from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so a person that totally trusts God with all of their heart will walk in the spirit of generosity. Because you won't have to worry about, oh, am I going to have enough? No, because you trust Him with all of your heart. And so the natural byproduct of trusting God is generosity. You'll be able to give, all right? You'll be able to tithe. You'll be able to present offering. And God says, the Lord speaks here, and He says that He's going to make your barns full. Because you trust Him, right? There's a spiritual phenomena that occurs. Remember, you can never outgive God. And now the economics of God begin to operate in your life. And so a person that really, really trusts the Lord, generosity. It's going to flow. And he talks here, and this is, remember, the Jewish idea of first fruits. And so they would give the firstlings of the cattle, and they would give the first fruits of the harvest. Now, it was important because what it represented that it was the first, right, and it was the best. And so the idea, because the idea is there may not be a second. And so when they gave the first fruit or the first of the firstlings of cattle, who knows? Is there going to be a secondling? Is there going to be other? They don't know. But they're saying, Lord, we trust you so much. We don't know if we're going to get any more cattle. We don't know, but we're going to trust you. They gave them the first and they gave the best. And that's easy to do because you trust the Lord with all of your heart. Then it's easy to be generous in this way. And so that begs the question, if you have a very difficult time giving to the Lord, if you have a, you probably have a trust issue. You probably have some place in your heart that you don't trust him, or there's some kind of self-sufficiency at work in our lives where you're just thinking, this all depends on me, right? I need to go out. I need to make the money. All, and we don't realize that it actually comes from the Lord. And so it's two things. The first thing is the byproduct of trusting the Lord, generosity. You just become a generous person. It just flows out of you. The second thing is you do not reprove or you do not deny God's discipline. And so he disciplines. This is obvious. Actually, the writer of Hebrews actually used this same passage. And he says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. And so the idea is, if when you trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him, one of the byproducts is that when God brings his discipline to us, you receive it. You receive it because you trust him. You receive it, right, because you know that he has your best interest in mind. And so he's not just punishing us or disciplining us for no reason. God is doing something. He's forming our character. He's getting us ready for some special assignment. There's something going on in God's mind, and we don't have to question that. We don't have to say, hey, don't mess with me, God. You know, don't discipline me. And because there's that trust, you know that this is for our good. And so you don't despise the reproof. And notice the key to understanding this, he says that it's he disciplines those whom he loves. That's so, so important. And many of us here that are parents, we know that this is very, very true. Very, very true. I mean, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have disciplined our kids because we're angry? Right? You know, I'll be the first to raise my hand, right? We've disciplined our kids because we're frustrated in these things. That happens. And sometimes that doesn't really have a great result, right? But he says here, he disciplines those who he loves. In other words, that he disciplines out of that deep place of love. And in that way, the discipline is different. And come on, we as parents, we know, right? We know when we discipline our kids out of frustration, you feel horrible. You know, I mean, you feel good in that moment that you got your frustration out. But later on, you know, you can't sleep. You know, you look at your kid and you just feel guilt in these things. That's not the discipline that he's talking about here, right? It's this discipline that comes out of love. It's a discipline that says, son, daughter, this is going to be painful right now, right? But this is going to serve you well long term, right? This is going to bring blessing into your life because I have to stop this kind of behavior that's going on inside of you right now because it's going to be harmful. You don't see it right now because you're young, but it's going to be harmful to you and it's going to be harmful to people around you, especially down the road. And that's that discipline of love. And that's how God operates. But because you trust him, you acknowledge him, then when that discipline comes in all different kind of forms, you're like, okay, this is for my good. and you receive it, and you abide by it, you live it through, and I tend to think that usually then the discipline ends up becoming a little shorter, right? You know, okay, going back to our kids, right? Have you ever tried to discipline your kids and your kids are fighting you about it, right? What happens? The discipline gets prolonged, you know? All of a sudden, this minor matter turns into an hour, and it causes even more distress. And so we receive this discipline. And so this is the byproduct of trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. And then from 13 on, he goes and he begins to talk about wisdom again, right? Wisdom, this skill at living life, and how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand in riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. And so it's talking about, again, the benefits of wisdom. It's going to bring blessing into our lives. But we have to seek after it. We have to be intentional about it. And then in 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. He's talking about, see, this same wisdom is this creative wisdom, is this incredible knowledge by which he created the universe. The greatness of, you know, the Big Bang and all that, to just even the smallest of creatures, you could see that it was actually this wisdom that brought about creation in this way. And we'll just pick it up from 21. And my son, do not let them vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to you and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. There's a benefit. There'll be incredible prosperity in your life, and man, sweet sleep. How important that is. In other words, your mind is not going to wander. You're not going to be interrupted in your rest. And this is what happens. You know, the sinners, the sinful, their sleep is interrupted. They're downtrodden with guilt and anxiety and worry. But to those that trust in the Lord, that make wisdom and follow after God's wisdom, there'll be sweetness to your sleep. There's something quite beautiful about that. And I think of, like, my kids. You know, right now, you know, we have Jaden, our foster baby. Man, that kid sleeps so well. You know what I mean? I mean, he's out. He sleeps because he doesn't have a worry in the world, right? My, you know, little kids, Andrew, he sleeps so well. Right, Hannah. I mean, they're getting a little older now, so they're a little more stressed out with school and everything. But man, I remember watching them as babies, as toddlers. They sleep. They don't have a worry in the world. And this is what happens to those who trust in the Lord. This is the same benefit that happens from those, right, who seek after wisdom and follow along with it. And there's great grace, and there's so much joy and peace and happiness and so on and so forth. There's a little bit more, but let me just finish with this one. In verse 34, and though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but the fools display dishonor. Probably in the Septuagint, which is the Latin translation of the Old Testament. And this is where we probably get more of the verses in the New Testament. That part where he scoffs at the scoffers is translated as that he opposes the proud. And we see James uses, he opposes the proud and he brings grace to the humble. And this is probably more the idea about it. But that's what happens. God opposes the proud. Another passage says that he sees the proud from afar, and it's the same idea. It's opposing, and what that passage means is, you know, he sees a proud person from a far distance, and he leaves them there, In other words, they're not able to draw close to God. The proud I see from afar, and I leave them afar. Because he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's easier for a person to be humble when they trust the Lord. It's just such a simple thing. And you're asking, P. Sam, how can I be more of a humble person? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When you're able to trust the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, humility will be a byproduct of that. Because you know that God's in charge. Because pride is basically self. It's bringing self into the situation. You know, I can do it by myself. I can handle this by myself. That's how pride is. And so when you're able to trust God, when you're able to totally lean upon him, pride is all of a sudden put to the sideline, and as a result, humility begins to come. Amen? This is a great passage. Let's close our eyes. I'll give you a tip. When I first became a Christian, I would read a Proverbs every single day. You know, there's 31 Proverbs. Our longest days in a month are 31. I would read it, and all I would do is I would just find one verse, and I'd memorize it, and I'd meditate on it. And that's how I did. I did this for like 10 years. And that's why I love this book so much. And I'd encourage you. I know there's so many. There's like little snippets of sayings and things. And just as an application, just find one verse that speaks to you every morning as we go through this. And then meditate on it. Memorize it. And let it sink deep into your spirit. And there's so much here today. But going back to our GIC verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not some, but all. Give him everything. There'll be so much blessing when you're able to give him everything. And do not lean on your own understanding. Right? It's not about you. But all your ways, acknowledge him. He's God, you're not. And he will make your path straight. You will be confident to walk in the will of God when you're able to do that.
Lead me to where I'm coming back to my first love, only you. You're the reason I sing, the reason I sing. Yes, my heart will sing how I love you, and forever I'll sing, forever I'll sing. Yes, my heart will sing how
Let's trust Him with all of our heart. We can trust Him because He is good. We can trust Him because we know His character. We can trust Him because of our testimonies. He's been faithful. Even when we're faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. That means that He is only faithful. He can't be anything else besides that. That's why we can trust Him. And so if there are certain areas in your life right now that you have difficulty trusting, it'll happen. It'll come in waves. Let's lay that at His feet right now. Just say, Lord, I have difficulty trusting You with my kids and their future. Lord, I have difficulty trusting You with my job. I have difficulty trusting You, God, in the area of my finances or my relationships. Whatever it is, let's take this moment and let's lay it at His feet. Let's come together to pray. Let's come, grab a chair, let's make a circle.